You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Jason Leisure's still here.
Hello.
Jason Leisure.
I will fight Chris Emma in Starbucks. I will fight him in a Panera, a Dunkin' Donuts, a Quiznos, a White Hen. Schlotsky's. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Sounds good.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I know if I write something really critical, I'm back in there next day and I will see that person face to face. So I better write responsibly. That doesn't mean pull punches.
No.
But that means what you write needs to be well supported, and it shouldn't be something that you'd have a problem saying to that person's face.
Jason Leisure.
We'll see whether or not they have McLaurin or not. They've got weapons all over the place over there.
Oh, McLaurin's out. Their coach, their reporters, yeah. He didn't make them wait for the injury report.
That must be nice.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes.
You can come hang out with
my
us.
Speedo packed.
On 670 The Score.
We love Jason Leisure, and he joins us now on the Circa Resort Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. His segment is brought to you by Busey Bank, building business and growing wealth since 1868. And Plumbers 911, plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Hey, Jason, how are you?
I'm good. I have a question for you to start things off.
Go ahead.
I was listening to the Peanut Tillman interview, which lasted my entire commute from House Hall. And my question for you is, multiple choice, what was your favorite part of it? A, an absolutely phenomenal, superb, excellent Chewbacca impersonation.
Yeah, really world class. That's really good call on that being an option.
Okay. Go ahead.
B, Spiegel's incredible visual of Peanut Tillman just going around the jewels, punching groceries out of people's hands, okay. Knocking out a loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm.
C, Peanut Tillman threatening the FCC on your behalf, daring them to come cancel a show that he has no financial stake in or is part of.
At all.
Yeah.
Or D, never leaving.
Favorite part?
I'm going to go with D because it's his bit. Like, that's what happens when I only invite Charles on like a couple times a year.
Because it's chaos.
It's a thing where... At one point, back in the old days of the nighttime show, I said goodbye to Charles. We broke. And he called back in the next segment. As Royce from Inglewood.
Right,
I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised.
As he said, if you're going to use me, then go ahead and use me. I'm going to go with E when he said he would never do this to Cole Wright on Marquee because that's live TV. And we're like, what? We're doing live radio.
Yes.
He legitimately insulted us. We got legit angry.
Absolutely. No. We could never do that because that program's live.
Hello? Hello?
This one is live.
That was amazing. I mean, you guys have to replay that or a shortened version of that later in the show for people who didn't hear it because it was incredible.
Think that...
But even the part that will probably have to be cut was hilarious to me where it's like, Okay, Charles takes. Now hold on. Tell me how Twitch works.
Yes.
We explained social media to Charles Tillman.
He knows how all of this works. Yeah. By
he was
the way.
Great.
Yeah.
Yep, he was. And we're glad that it was great for us too, because I think a lot of people were like, you, I'm not getting out of the car or I'm not changing the channel because Charles is out here doing his thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful process.
Whenever we have Jason Leisure on, I go to his Twitter feed over there at Jason Leisure, L-I-E-S-E-R. I see what he's been thinking about, what he's been writing. And, you know, we should ask you about DeAndre Swift, and you wrote about that. But it's funny because your pinned tweet is an article you wrote for the Sun-Times in early September. The Bears needed a truth teller and their fans, and they got one in new coach Ben Johnson. And I wonder, I've been thinking about it and talking about, I wonder how much of what is happening is because they have a coach who tells the truth.
Yeah. Have you read that column?
Yes. I read it back then. I haven't read it again recently.
It was a fascinating conversation to have with him about, are you going to lie to all of us like the last Bears coaches have? And it got into this thing about his direct style of both talking to the media and to a greater extent talking to his assistants and his players. And I think what you're seeing from Ben Johnson, and this should not be remarkable, but it is here. You're just seeing this high, high level of competency. You are seeing someone unafraid to call things what they are, to say when things don't look right, and who can hold his own in any confrontation, any disagreement, whether that's in the building or with the media or with Troy Aikman or whatever. I think you are seeing someone that is incredibly competent and confident. And I just can't picture Ben Johnson, in a short time into covering him, I can't picture him, for example, kind of spinning himself in a circle in a press conference or not really knowing how to handle a locker room after a game like the game in Detroit last year, or knowing what to do when Tyreek Stevenson storms out of practice and everyone's looking around like, isn't he going to say anything? I think that you have somebody that is really ready for the job in that job.
I appreciate about him, and I know it seems like a small thing, and I keep bringing it up, the way that he calls a 4-minute offense, the way that he seemingly has a handle on how to manage the clock, and you don't have to be a pro level on Madden when it comes to watching Ben Johnson do it. His crew of people and him seem utterly engaged in the gamesmanship of what goes on as the clock is winding down and how to win a game at the end by possessing the ball till it goes zero.
Yeah, I liked his overarching philosophy Monday night of, we are not giving them the ball back to try to do something. So one way or another, you know, we're taking the clock down to zero and taking our shot last, not letting them take their shot last. It was so counterintuitive, generally, that he went to the run game in that situation, losing with 3 minutes left. That's usually time where you're going to put it on your quarterback to win the game. And Caleb did make some plays during that, but they rode the run all the way down there. And DeAndre Swift is such an interesting story for the Bears, particularly because he has history with Ben Johnson. That's a little bit of a mixed bag where, you know, he had some good production under Ben Johnson, but Ben Johnson was also part of the group that was plenty happy to trade him away for a 4th-round pick and start over with Jahmyr Gibbs. And then throughout this season, Eric Bieniemy and Ben Johnson have been talking about trying to get DeAndre Swift to be more of a power runner, even though he's small, and be a north-south runner. And they keep saying he's doing it. He's doing it. We're seeing it. We're seeing it in preseason games. We're seeing it in practices. And DeAndre Swift keeps saying, I'm not doing anything different.
Wow. Well, that's interesting, because it did look like he was doing some things differently. He is. And Ben Johnson said, this is what we expected of him after this game. So that's interesting. How much in your inspection of such things was DeAndre Swift, and how much was the improved offensive line doing doing Ben Johnson's scheme bidding in this game?
I hate when coaches say, well, it was everyone. Well, it was both. So I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to say if I have to pick one, it's DeAndre Swift. I saw from the start of that game a guy that was just charging straight ahead and hitting the hole. And if Moore opened up after that, he could get extra yards after he got through the line of scrimmage. Great. But I saw a guy who was not going to lose yards. And I think that is different than what we've seen from DeAndre Swift over the past year.
When it comes to watching the continued development of Caleb Williams, I hope that people aren't conflating the Bears are winning games with Caleb as a finished product, because I don't think that he is. But I do think that if you were worried about the gap between Caleb and Jaden Daniels, I think that Caleb is narrowing that gap. Is that too optimistic?
It's a big gap, though. I think he's chipping away at it, but it's a big gap. And that's just objectively, look at last season. Jaden Daniels in a pretty, you know, I don't want to say as bad a situation, because Jaden Daniels had really good coaching and a really good offensive line, but inheriting almost as bad of a team coming in. And he wins Rookie of the Year, and he goes to the conference championship game. And Caleb didn't do those things. Caleb was, I mean, it's a big gap going into this year. But yes, the first five games of this year, Caleb Williams has chipped away at that. And you're never going to chip away more at that than when you actually face each other. But to your first point, Lawrence, you read my mind. I mean, this is something I've been thinking about with Caleb Williams. Would we all agree he's playing better?
Yes,
absolutely.
This is better, right?
Oh, my God,
this
yes.
is better. But there's still, you would still look at any of these games, even the Cowboys games, and say, there's a lot here that he's not reaching. There's a lot of potential growth that he hasn't hit yet. So I think that's incredibly encouraging for Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, and the offense at large, that he is already playing better, yet there is still much more that he could do. That completion percentage is still not there, not even close, really. And you're still seeing progress. So you're getting good enough quarterback play to win now, but also the potential that it gets so much better. And I think I've said this 50 times on this show, that there is no bigger way for a team to improve in season than for a young quarterback to figure it out. If that happens, then if Caleb Williams takes off like a rocket in the second half of the season, the Bears will too.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just realized a way that kind of ties the room together here, at least for me. We've had so many conversations in the years sitting here and dissecting Mitch Trubisky and then Justin Fields and now Caleb Williams, where we're trying to be fair, irrespective of the wins and losses.
Right.
And now I still want to be fair and honest about what we're seeing, irrespective of the wins and losses. It's the same thing. That's great that they got a win. It emboldens the teaching and the development. And I love the growth that I'm seeing from Caleb Williams. But it's okay to say he's got to throw more of a runner's ball to maximize the routes. It's okay to say that first deep ball to Rome.
Underthrown.
Way underthrown. You know, like, it's okay to comment on these things and notice these things. And I'm sure that Ben Johnson is doing so in their film sessions. Right, Jason?
Yeah, and I've thought all along this would work. I think a lot of people did. That's not profound that you take the top quarterback of that draft class and the top offensive coach available, top coach period available in the last couple of hiring cycles, and say, oh, that'll work. You know, that's not a genius idea to think matching those two is going to work. But I think one of the things that hadn't been grasped by everybody was how eager Caleb was and is to embrace that teaching, to embrace the expertise that he's now getting. And I think that gives you the promise that this is going to continue to get better, because you're seeing him embrace it and implement it to the extent that he can as a second-year quarterback right now.
Yeah,
so you're already seeing signs that he's going to keep doing that.
Yeah, and he knows the opportunity that's ahead of him. And I think you could see in the offseason, like when he was on the St. Brown Brothers podcast right away, like he was talking to real dudes and Amon-Ra, a real winner. And he was saying, oh man, you better get ready. And Caleb's like, I'm ready. I want to do it. And that's still where he is. Six weeks in, he's psyched to be coached by that man every single day, and you're seeing it.
See, those comments were telling too, though, Matt, because obviously we all could sit here and say on paper what the Bears are getting in Ben Johnson is a great strategist, someone who really knows how to coach quarterbacks, and Caleb Williams could know coming in, okay, the things this guy teaches me about how I see the game and about my footwork and things like that, it's all going to be sound information. But you're also seeing Ben Johnson. I mean, he's not just a guy with a pocket protector and a calculator and graph paper. And like he's accessing his Dan Campbell side, it seems like. And you hear that from Caleb Monday night after the game, the way he's talking about how Ben's confidence kind of fires him up when Ben Johnson is on the headset saying, oh, this is a great play call. Get ready for this. And then gives him a play call. Caleb's like, that's his vibe. That's who he, that's what he wants in his ear. That supreme confidence, that there's no way that anything like that was coming from Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus.
It's fascinating that you bring that up, and we're talking with Jason Leisure of the Sun Times, and he joins our show once a week, and occasionally he'll come and hang out and host the show too. I am fascinated by the multiple personalities of Ben Johnson, because I think you're right. I think that inside of a game, he is that guy, but there's still the guy that knows how to manage the clock. I think after the game, he is the angry, disappointed teacher going through the film and trying to figure out how to make his team better. And now we've gotten to a place where he is lifting Caleb up in some of these moments, saying, hey, you were born for this, going out there and win the game for us. The fact that he knows himself that well and can dip into those different facets of his personality, I think is extremely encouraging.
I thought from afar, and I still see it, I think a lot of his personality, Ben Johnson's personality, reminds me of Tom Brady's personality. Just that confidence, that enthusiasm, just never in doubt. And if you compare that to like Shane Waldron's personality, it's more like your geometry teacher. And I don't know, you know, which one of those do you think clicks better with a guy like Caleb Williams?
You know, it's funny because I think Ben has little bit of a, he's got some computer nerd in him, as he knows, and Dan Campbell still likes to give him crap about. And so he's worked to compensate that. Lifting, you know, and like trying to access that physical side of him. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. Coordinators will talk tomorrow. Caleb talked today, and Mark Grody at the top of the 5 o'clock hour will give us some of that sound. But news wise, what else has there been to come out? This is still Cairo Santos's job as a kicker, right? Like, no matter what, Jake Moody, 4 for 5, get carried off. But if Cairo's healthy, this is his job?
And it should be. No doubt about it, it should be. I mean, I understand the excitement about Jake Moody and what he did Monday night, and that is awesome that he did that, and great for him. Cairo Santos has been rock steady for them for 6 years. He is the most accurate field goal kicker in the history of the Chicago Bears. He is the most accurate field goal kicker in the history of Soldier Field. You want Cairo Santos if you have your choice out of the two. Now, I don't want Cairo Santos if something's bothering him still. And that's where the Bears might have to make a decision. I don't know, you know, with the other 31 teams, or I guess 30 teams, because San Francisco definitely wouldn't be in the play for this. I don't know if somebody else is looking at Jake Moody or needs him. You can't let him leave, because if you don't have Cairo Santos completely good to go, you don't want to let your backup plan sign with somebody else. So they might have to end up signing him to the active roster for a short time in order to keep that insurance policy in place. But certainly,
and they can only bring him back up one more time before they do have to sign him. So the rule is that you can appear twice, be a practice squad guy, be a game day call up. That third time that you're called up, you have to be added to the 53-man roster.
Yeah, but also, and I know you guys know this, but everybody might not, being on the practice squad means nothing. He's basically a free agent. He is a free agent.
He can be signed off of the practice squad by any team in the league.
But it's his choice. It's not like being on waiver claims. So somebody can come and offer him a contract, and he can tell the Bears, hey, I got an offer from fill in the blank. But he's a free agent. I mean, Jake Moody could leave any time for an offer.
Jason, we appreciate you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you guys for having me on the Charles Tillman Show with Spiegel and Holmes.
That's how I felt. And we're okay with it.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
And the pitch to Ian Happ. Swinging a base hit into right. Brujan around third, heading home. Here comes the throw to the plate. Cubs win. Ian Happ, a game-winning single.
Line drive, base hit to right. Cubs win the ball game. Ian Happ walks it off.
Peralta, the pitch.
A swing and a drive. Deep right field. It's got a chance. Gone.
Happ with a drive. Right field. Way back there. Gone.
Three-run homer, Ian Happ. Cubs lead 3-0.
Ian Happ takes Freddie Peralta deep for the second time in the series.
And you can't get much louder here at Wrigley Field.
Gold Glove Award winner.
Oh, baby. Ian Happ, stop it. How about a Gold Glove conversation? What a play. What a catch. Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
That's how you win 3 straight Gold Gloves.
It seems fitting that as the longest tenured Cub, you're the one to catch the final out to clinch a spot in the postseason. What was going through your mind when you were waiting for that baseball out there?
Yeah, it's special. Just hit me a little bit.
Ian Happ on 670 The Score.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
Thanks to Robbie Triano for a mashup of the highlights from not just Ian Happ recently, but his entire 2025 season. It's a good way to close it out. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we go live to our Circa Sports hotline, Circa Sports and CircaLasVegas.com. That is where we find Ian Happ. And Ian, we just played a highlight montage, courtesy of our producer, Robbie Triano, of the best highlights of the year. What stands out to you as maybe the most memorable thing you did defensively or at the plate on the field?
I think that home run game four is probably going to go down as a kind of an all-time Wrigley highlight for me. Pretty special one. I think that'll be the one from this year.
I remember, too, it's funny because Ron Darling was talking about it on the broadcast during game one of the NLDS, and it's when you hit that home run off of Peralta in the first game. And he said, you know, these at-bats may look like they don't mean much, but the goal is you try to see Peralta again, and then you have more data. Lo and behold, you came through in that way. Was that the thought process, what Darling was talking about, when you're trying to get those looks and those extra ABs in game one?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, with a guy like Peralta, you know, we've had, or I've at least have had so many at-bats against him over the years that I have a lot of information. I think, yeah, in that moment, kind of third time through in that game, it was a little bit out of hand. You know, you're trying to get on base and try to create something for the team, but at the same time, you're trying to kind of figure out how he's going to try to get you out and what he's going to try to do. Probably a little bit different facing a guy like Peralta that we know really well versus if it's a team that you don't know as well and a guy that you want to kind of really figure out what he's trying to do.
Ian, you've had 4 days since the season ended. I'm just really curious as to what the process, whether that's mourning, whether that's reflection, what has that been like between Saturday and now?
Yeah. I mean, obviously a ton of disappointment. We had such a good group, not only talent and ability, but just human beings and a group of guys that love to be around each other and enjoyed time together, enjoyed going to work and being together. So, definitely disappointed, definitely a little bit of a mourning, seeing teammates, over the last few days and catching up with guys before they head out of town. And I think you start the reflection process, but I don't think, I don't think any of us are in a position quite yet to give an honest evaluation of the season and look back and go through that process. Yeah, I think that's something that takes a couple weeks to get away from it before you can have a true honest assessment of kind of yourself and what you did and how you want to prepare for next year.
What are those conversations like just between you and your teammates? People are so curious as to how something like this affects a group that has become as tight-knit as you guys did over the course of a season.
Yeah. It kind of depends, I guess. Every team is its own thing. You have a group of guys who's going to be back here together for sure next year, and there's a lot of guys coming back for sure, which is great. But every group is its own thing, and you'll have guys that were a big part of this group who won't be back next year. Those conversations are, you're trying to appreciate what they gave the Chicago Cubs and their time and how important and special it was to play with those guys. And I think as far as like the group of guys that'll be back and the group of guys that you've played with for a while, the conversations are more, I think there's excitement in general. I think there's disappointment about how it ended and excitement about, how the whole thing went, winning 92 games and winning a playoff series and hosting it regularly. I think one of the coolest parts about kind of this year or this playoff experience was that all of these guys got to see playoff baseball at Wrigley and playoff baseball at Wrigley in full effect. And it was something I got to see at the beginning of my career from the jump. And so I got to see how special it was. And I had that, I've always had that throughout my whole career. Been lucky enough to have the experience of it, to see it and to have that as a massive motivator for me. And so I think that the entire group got to experience that this year and that will be pretty impactful on those guys moving forward.
Yeah, it's something that I always think about, Ian, when we talk to former players especially, and they reflect back, is it's not guaranteed. Even when you're on a very good team, getting to the postseason, in 2023, I think of that season for sure. I think of last year. Postseason, even when you try to build the best team you can, it's not guaranteed. Being able to have that experience at the beginning of your career and then being able to be the one that people listen to with that leadership and that experience – going into this run, what did it feel like to be depended on? And then also, what did it feel like to you to just be able to savor it in this way, knowing that you had had that experience previously?
Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely tried to take it all in and tried to enjoy every second of it. I think, you know, one of the things that I say to guys all the time when they sign here is just like, hey, it's, you win here. It's really, really special. And the place is good all the time, but when you're a winning team in Chicago, it doesn't get much better than that. And so, you know, that we've had good teams that have come close, and you're right. It's really hard. And it's really hard not only to make the postseason, but it's really hard to win postseason series against good teams. And so being able to do that, you know, and then, you know, pushing it to a game five and just coming up a little bit short probably hurts worse. Because, you know, we felt like our team was good enough to keep going. So, yeah, it was an awesome experience and something that just, I think this group is capable of doing year after year. That's a challenge.
And then also, we have a little bit of breaking news here. Breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Rawlings has released the Gold Glove finalists. So here are the Cubs finalists: Matthew Boyd, Carson Kelly, Nico Horner, Matt Shaw, Picro Armstrong, and a guy we know named Ian Happ. Ian, congratulations on another Gold Glove finalist name. And that's a pretty good list of people who did some nice things with the leather this season. What do you think?
Thank you. Yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool to be, you know, finalist for the award again. And pretty incredible that how many guys is that from our team that are finalists?
Let me count. I think it's six.
Yeah, it's six guys. And then also Carlos Santana was nominated in the American League for first base.
So you take that, right? That's seven, even though he was, you know, AL.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, six guys nominated on the NL list is pretty, that's pretty special. That's impressive.
Ian, I'm curious because we have coming up at the top of the hour, the end of season press conference from Jed Hoyer, and we're talking amongst ourselves about what we want to hear. I know last year Craig Counsell made a very spirited speech to the media, or really an answer to the media, about wanting to be a 90-win team, needing to be a 90-win team. You eclipse that to get to the playoffs and to advance to the division series. What do you as a player want to hear from Jed Hoyer?
I mean, there's nothing specifically as a player that you know, I believe in Jed. I've been with him a long time, trust him. Like, I believe that he's going to put the best product out there for us. Obviously you saw that this year and what he was able to do, not only, you know, trades and acquisitions, but just identifying, like, even during the season, guys like finding a Drew Pomeranz, finding Chris Flexen, you know, Thielbar and Brad Keller, and like that bullpen that they put together. You know, they gave us every chance to go win this year. And that's all you can ask for. And I know that that's their mission, you know, again, next year, is to give us every possible chance to go up and win, as many games as we possibly can.
Ian, also as a veteran, I think about what acquisitions the Cubs could make in the offseason and how much 2027 and knowing the CBA is up at the end of next season plays a part in this. How much do you consider it, especially knowing that you've got experience both as the player rep and then just having veteran experience being a union member?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know that players necessarily are like thinking about it a ton. I think, you know, we've been through so much this player group between 2020 and then when the lockout and then rules changes and clocks and all, we've been through so much as a player group. So I don't know that the player group is thinking a ton about like 2027. I think as a player, you really do have to kind of stay in the moment. I know that there's a lot of talk about how it could affect spending in the next two off seasons, but that's not really what we saw in 22 going into that lockout.
Like, yeah,
we saw a spending bump actually right before, maybe not in the off season prior, but in the offseason of the actual lockout, you know, there was a ton of contracts that got signed right before. So it's just, it's hard to know how that spending behavior is going to change or if it's going to be a big part of calculus as teams go into the offseason.
Well, and I know we're probably going to talk to you about it over and over again because our job is to look forward and back and everywhere in between. But I also think about some of the aspects of the CBA last time that I think were supposed to come up when it came to like discussions, kind of like the pitch clock, for example. And you remember spider tack was a thing. Is there something that you would like to see with your experience as a hitter and as a player for so long that you feel like needs to be addressed from an on the field product side when it comes to just an improvement that needs to be made?
You know, I don't know if there's something specifically in the on field product. I think the rule changes have worked very well. I think the speed of the game and the excitement for the fans has been reflected in just the viewership numbers. I think that part's pretty exciting for baseball. I think let's see how the ABS goes next year. Mm-hmm. Let's see how that works. And if we have to make any adjustments, I think we have to be pretty, I think both sides have to be willing to change if it's not perfect, and if there's some things that need to be tweaked. So I think that's the only thing as we go into next year. But I think for the most part, the game's in a pretty healthy place.
Ian, before we let you go, I got to ask you, have you been watching baseball since your exit from the playoffs? And if so, are you, like your fan base, hate watching the Milwaukee Brewers?
No, I haven't been watching. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
I haven't been watching a lot of baseball. It's not, you know, I'll tune in if there's a big moment going on, or if I'm somewhere where it's on television, maybe I'll peek at it, but I'm not choosing to watch it. It was fun to watch the Bears on Monday night. That's for sure.
That it was. And also, Ian, I know this is I know this may be one of our last conversations, at least for a while, with us. So please let us know what's going on with Connect, your work with the First Tee, your work with your foundation. What's happening with everyone?
Yeah, we're going to start, you know, it's not holiday season yet, but we're getting close. Connect's going to be ahead of that this year with some options for the holiday stuff and then like corporate gifting. If anybody is looking to do like custom bags to give away as holiday gifts, we want to make sure that we're available for that at Connect. But the foundation, we're going to start working on our plans for the holiday season. And then for next year, we're excited about just the launch of the foundation this fall and what it's going to be in 2026. So we appreciate all the support on that.
Thank you so much, Ian, and thanks for taking the time every week with us. This has been a great experience, as it has been in many years.
Thanks so much, Ian.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
And congrats again on the Gold Glove
nomination.
Well, yeah. But you know.
You can speak it to existence. I'm good with that.
Nomination's still a big deal to me.
Yeah.
That was Ian Happ joining us as he did every week during the baseball season. And yeah, you can check out Connect Roasters. It's over at Steingold's, and as well as the Ian Happ Foundation and the work that he does as well with the First Tee. All worth another look. Coming up next, we are awaiting that 11 o'clock expected press conference from Jed Hoyer that you can hear right here on 670 The Score. So we want to ask everybody. I want to ask Marshall. Marshall wants to ask me. We want to ask you. What do you want to hear Jed Hoyer talk about? What do you want to hear him say in a few minutes? We'll do that next.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
I could do Stephen A's job, guys. It's not that hard.
Danny Parkins.
QB1 party! All are invited!
Host of Fox Sports 1's First Thing First.
I'm on my 15th view of Ben Johnson's post-game speech. Do you want to hear it again?
Who wants one? Ready? Come on! Good, better, best! Never better, best! We get better! You better get smashed!
Former host of 670 The Score before he abandoned us.
That's a Caleb Williams custom, baby.
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
You guys made it seem like as Chicago Bears fans, we had our guy, Danny Parkins, all these guys.
Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
We go out to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Danny Parkins, you know him as our former afternoon host before he abandoned Robbie. We know Danny will join us. He's on the newly expanded First Things First from 4 to 5 on Fox Sports 1 and joins us now. Hey, Danny.
Hi. Good to, I mean, man, what a cast of characters. Marshall is back. Grody is gone. Layla is the bedrock. Layla is the consistent thing that we can rely on. And
wow.
So I'm happy to be here. Sorry, Marshall. I missed you last time. And I was like, oh, don't worry. Nothing's going on. It's just Cubs playoffs and Bears games and all that. It's okay. No big deal.
Well, and if you depends on who you ask, because people always say I'm never on the show, and Grody's usually at Hallis Hall on Wednesdays and Thursdays. So I just confess to not being the bedrock at all. So
okay, well, I will be here most Wednesdays.
Oh, see, yeah, that's funny how that works. It's a one way street. Okay, I'm here most days. By the way, I'm sure you are.
I'm sure you are. I'm just kidding, Marshall.
No, I know.
I'm not here right now. It's a figment of your imagination.
You know who is here, Danny? And I guess arrival is a thing we can talk about. Do you feel like Caleb Williams has arrived after that Monday night showdown with Jaden Daniels and the Bears winning a game on the road?
No, I don't. No. Like, I thought it's an interesting way you put that. Like, last week, I thought was like a coming out party arrival moment for Drake May, obviously in Caleb's draft class, had arguably the best game of his career, certainly given the national TV standalone game, big underdog against the Bills, won a division game, put them into first place. Like, to me, that was like Drake May's kind of coming out party. Caleb, I thought, was okay against the Commanders. I thought he had some nice moments. I thought it was nice that he drove the team down at the end of the game. I know Troy Aikman, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. Like, Troy Aikman took a lot of crap on social media for some of his tone on Caleb, but I thought some of the stuff that he was pointing out about how, like, he was misidentifying and not on the same page with his receivers on, like, man versus zone and if the receiver was going to sit or if he was going to keep running. Like, I thought that Aikman was kind of on it with that, especially early in the game. So, you know, I didn't think Caleb was at his best, but obviously if the touchdown to Odunze isn't taken off the board, if Zacchaeus catches that crosser over the middle on second down when they were backed up against their own three late in the game, I mean, he could have taken that 97 yards for a touchdown. Then it would have been like, oh, Caleb had three total touchdowns with 330 passing yards. Like, then it probably would have been viewed as his coming out party. But with some of the sloppiness, with the touchdown taken off the board, with the drop, I thought it was a fine game for him and a much better game and a much bigger game for Ben Johnson, frankly, than Caleb Williams.
Well, and that's the thing is, I know you were looking at this game as the one you were looking forward to the most to try to see what you wanted to see in the team. So when you balance that part of it too, is that a good thing that at least the coach came through in a way you wanted it to be?
Yeah, listen, I that was to me the story of the game. Like, it was like, would they look better out of the bye? And obviously, Caleb, I thought, was still inconsistent. The penalties were still infuriating. They got the plays in too late, I thought, sometimes. But, like, coming into the game, and Aikman even said it in the lead of the broadcast. He's like, you know, the Commanders rush defense and the Bears rush offense. That's a matchup for Washington. If the Bears are going to move the ball in this one, it's going to be through the air. And then DeAndre Swift had arguably his best game as a Bear. And coming into the game also, Washington was first in the NFL in yards per carry, and the Bears were last in the NFL in yards per carry against, and they did a really good job. Like, they held Washington to their worst rushing game of the season, and their run defense, I thought, was the best the Bears had played. It was the best the Bears had played in terms of yards per carry allowed. So, like, rush offense got better, rush defense got better, and then they won their second one-score game of the year, which, you know, when we came off the Matt Eberflus era, the Bears were 6-20 in one-score games over the 3 years that Eberflus was there. And they're 2-1 so far this year. So, like, figuring out a way to win a game that for my entire life watching the Bears, it feels like they always lose that game. I thought there were way more positives than negatives, even if, wow, Jaden Daniels got outplayed by Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams had his, like, welcome to the NFL star turn moment. Like, even if that didn't happen narratively, I still thought it was, like, an overwhelmingly positive outcome for the Bears, like, the whole operation.
I guess I want to know then, Danny, because I just want to have it on the record. What would a Caleb Williams coming out party in the way you're describing what Drake May did look like? How will we know that from your vantage point?
Like, did they win the game because of Caleb? Was he dominant? Was he by far the best quarterback on the field? Did he look like a superstar? Was he consistently great first quarter to fourth quarter? Like, I thought he was definitely was better against Dallas than he was in this game. I thought he was arguably better against the Raiders. Like, I didn't think that that was just a game that I would throw the log on the fire of, like, I've seen Caleb Williams have that game. It was what is 17 plus 5. So that was his 22nd start as a Bear. Like, I feel like I've seen him play that exact game 6 times out of the 22 starts. Like, he was good, he had his moments, but I didn't think he was spectacular in any way. Did you think it was his coming out moment?
Oh, no. I'm under the belief that this is going to be a steady, slow burn, not some toward passionate love affair. It's going to be a nice, solid relationship with Caleb Williams and this team and this coach and this fan base. And at the end of the season, everyone will be in love.
So, that's interesting. I mean, because, like, yeah, if you zoom out, the numbers are pretty good. Right, it's like 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions,
exactly.
Passer rating just under 100, completion percentage is still lower than you would like in the low 60s, winning record, 3 wins in a row, pacing for 4,000 yards, right? Like, it's so, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think it's generally speaking trending in the right direction, and can he start stacking games and being consistent? But to be very clear, like, Jaden Daniels has been in an NFC title game, and Drake May is doing more with less right now. Like, I think most of us would take the Bears supporting cast over the Patriots supporting cast offensively, and Drake May has looked even better than Caleb has so far this year. So, you know, I think Caleb still has a ways to go, but is very clearly trending in the right direction.
Danny, there's also been a lot of discussion, I think, as you can imagine, especially from Bears fans, about two things that are outside of the win. One is the refereeing from Monday night. And then two was the conversation behind Troy Aikman's commentary talking about some of the throws that Caleb Williams either he thought might have been late to or he might have missed or some of the other opportunities. I want you to listen to what Ben Johnson had to say. This is from yesterday. Patrick Finley asked him about Aikman's commentary during the Monday Night Football broadcast.
I saw you said somewhere today that you caught a little bit of the TV copy of the second half. Did the tone of coming from the color analyst there surprise you?
Maybe I just had it on mute.
It sounded like you heard some of what they said.
Yeah. Listen, you want respect in this league, you got to go earn it. And so that's where we're at right now. We need to go earn that respect from not only the rest of the teams in the NFL, but everybody. So that's where we are.
For the record, he did make comments about it earlier, just not in that press conference. That was the follow-up, and I think Ben probably realized he needed to let off the gas pedal a little bit, but just saying he noted that Aikman was critical of Caleb Williams. What do you think?
I thought Aikman was critical of Caleb Williams, and I think that Ben Johnson is probably – it's not in his best interest to comment on all the Twitter stories, right? Because, like, that is a – and I saw that Caleb reposted something that was like seemingly making a reference to it. That's all well and good, and it's fine to be online. We all are, as long as you got the win. And listen, I do think that Caleb is hyper-scrutinized because he's been the number one prospect since he was in seventh grade, because he was a Heisman Trophy winner, because he was the number one pick, because Jaden Daniels outplayed him last year, like I mentioned, Drake May. Hell, Bo Nix outplayed him last year, because Caleb Williams is different, because he is, a unique free spirit in some ways. I think a lot of things on this, but a very true and fair observation is, if Caleb Williams would have thrown the interception that Jaden Daniels did and then smiled on the sidelines, and then he would have fumbled the ball late like Jaden Daniels did, shows like mine would have led with Caleb Williams. And we did not lead with Jaden Daniels in those items. Now, Jaden Daniels, the obvious response to that is, he was in the NFC Championship game last year. He won 9 one-score games last year. He won 12 games last year before the playoffs, right? Like, there's obvious reasons why they're talked about differently. But Caleb probably feels correctly that every move he makes is under a microscope, and he can like complete a pass on third down, and Troy Aikman could say, well, yeah, he completed a pass on third down, but it should have been for more for yards after the catch. Like, damn, that's a pretty harsh grade for a guy making his 22nd start. And it is. And I have no idea why Aikman came in with that agenda. I tend to like the Aikman and Buck broadcast because Aikman doesn't pull punches, because he is opinionated. And so like the Bears were on the receiving end of some negative commentary from an analyst who is still willing to give negative commentary. And frankly, I love it, because not every color analyst is. And so like, does it matter? No, but it's a good thing for fans to be pissed about in the moment and for us to talk about on talk radio. But like, as long as Caleb has his fun with it the night after the game, and then now is not thinking about it at all and is totally locked in on the Saints, like, I don't really care. And Ben Johnson, I thought, was smart to Finley's question to not – you don't want to make that a three-day story. Like, you don't want Caleb to – Caleb will be asked about it today if he hasn't been already. But, like, you want that story to go away as quickly as possible.
I will say this, though. I thought that Aikman was looking at Caleb under the microscope of – good to great. Like, there was a throw here he could have made if this had been a little bit more timed. I didn't necessarily see it as super negative, but you're right about the smiling after the interception and the fumble. I completely agree. I just think he thought, oh, there was also this option, and he said as much. That's how I interpret it.
And I don't think there was an agenda either, Danny. I think he was just saying, hey, Jaden Daniels is out here as an NFC Championship game participant while Caleb Williams has not had any measure of success in this league. And I understand he was saddled with Matt Eberflus and his coaching staff. But at the end of the day, fans can be upset all they want. The bottom line is Jaden Daniels has done more in his time as an NFL quarterback, and that's okay. He's got time to prove them wrong.
Yeah, well, we've seen this so many times. We see it with like what quarterbacks get star calls, you know, and Collinsworth says it all the time. He's like, we're going to talk about this later in the broadcast. And like, he says that all the time. And I'm like, well, I don't know, talk about it later in the broadcast if it's relevant based on the game in front of you, not because you thought about you were going to do it from your production meetings, right? So I do think these guys come in with their opinion from who they've talked to and the film that they watch and all of that. But I don't believe that like Troy Aikman has an agenda against Caleb Williams. I think that he is a color analyst of a number one team who is willing to be negative and is holding Caleb to a very high standard. And by and large, we should too. Like, I think Caleb Williams can win MVP in a Bears uniform. Like, I think Caleb Williams can win a Super Bowl in a Bears uniform. And I don't think Caleb Williams is particularly close to being the league MVP, nor do I think the Bears are particularly close to being a Super Bowl champion. So, like, until he gets to that level, we should grade him harshly. Like, I don't want to grade him like Mitch Trubisky against Tampa or Justin Fields against Miami. You know, like, I still want to hold Caleb to, like, the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert strategy, because I think that's where his talent is. And so, you know, I have no problem with, hey, that was a 12-yard completion. It should have been 30 if it was a better ball. So I have no problem with that analysis because I don't want to lower my standards for Caleb Williams yet.
No, I think it's fair. And I feel like we're not talking about the NFC playoffs here. We're talking about them trying to win one score games. And yeah, there are a couple throws that I'm sure he would like back. But the good news is the plays were so good that there were multiple options to get yards and therefore points. And that's how I kind of felt about it.
Yeah, but I mean, but like the missed, the two-point conversion, Aikman did a great job on the replay of showing that the running back was wide open in the flat. Caleb didn't see him.
Right.
Like maybe he was blocked by Darnell Wright, but like he did not make the throw. And they did not convert the two-point conversion. And that's on Caleb. And that's okay. Like that is objectively what happened. And it's true. And again, we who watch every play can like, and now obviously Aikman watched every play, but like we can look at a box score and be like, all right, 250 yards and a win, not bad. And wow, if they would not have taken the Adunze touchdown off the board, and if Zacchaeus would have caught the ball, it would have been at least an extra touchdown for Caleb, if not two, and at least an extra 50 to 70 yards for Caleb, if not 100, right? Because like, literally, Zacchaeus could have taken that ball 97 yards to the house. We don't know. So, like, we were two plays away from Caleb having a superstar game. And on the other side of it, you know, he was a little inconsistent, but they won. Like, what I said on TV after that game on Tuesday was, like, I thought it was a great Ben Johnson game. I thought it was a fine Caleb game. But also, guys, like, it was almost like a playoff game. Like, the Commanders are a wild card team. The Bears are trying to be a wild card team. The Bears now have the tiebreaker over the Commanders. Vegas has the Bears at, like, a little bit more than 2-1 to make the playoffs. They would have been closer to 4-1 to make the playoffs if they would have lost that game. Like, if you're 2-3... and you got three takeaways in that game, and you were coming out of the bye, and you lose a game where you're plus three in the turnover differential, that would have been a devastating loss. But instead, they figured out a way to win the game. Like, so did Caleb arrive? Are they a playoff team? What's with the narrative? Like, I'm interested in that, too. I talk about it every day on the show. But, like, the truth is that, like, they just needed to win. Like, they needed to win that game. And now they need to win the game against the Saints so that they have a little bit of breathing room when they play Lamar Jackson coming off a bye and the Baltimore Ravens. Like, you can the Bears legitimately can be 6-3 a month from now if they hold serve and beat the Saints, Giants, and Bengals and lose to the Ravens. And if they're 6-3 and the running game has arrived and Caleb Williams is taking that incremental progress that Marshall's talking about, like, they'll be even money or better to make the playoffs. And, like, this season can get really exciting really fast. So I'm on Twitter like you guys are. I'm watching the game. I'm living and dying with it. I get caught up in all of that stuff too. But, like, I don't want to miss the forest through the trees here. Like, that was a huge win for the Bears, like, period. And then everything else is secondary.
Agreed. Danny, thanks again for joining us, and thanks for being there.
We appreciate you, Danny. I'll try to be here next week.
You're going to be here. When are we going to get Grody here? Like, it doesn't Grody come on after me for a Bears report?
No, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, because this is the Caleb day. Like, Wednesday and Thursday, Grody is typically at Hallis.
It would take him having a Monday night football game.
Doesn't he give you a Bears report at like 1:25?
Not today, no, because like they're not talking until later, so nothing was going to change between like then and now. If something had changed,
let's four box it.
Like, you said, let's four box. You really are in TV mode. I love it.
Yeah, man. Like, I'm in New York. You guys are in Chicago. Grody's in Lake Forest. Robbie could be on the moon, and we could all be on the show together.
Ray Diaz says we can do this, and we will work on doing this.
Yeah, let's figure it out. I mean, I take suggestions.
I'm just saying one question. Can Grody show up for one question? Like, I talk to you guys from 1 to 1:15. Grody shows up from 1:15, says something dumb. He's gone by 1:16, and then it's back to us. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't need to be here the whole time, but just like, I like to make fun of him a little.
You've been hanging out with too many television producers, but I like it.
No, that's some good producing out of you.
If FS1's Danny Parkins wants it, we're going to do it. We're going to make it happen.
That's right.
And I'm going to the moon.
Right. Yeah. How are you going to send Robbie to the moon?
I assume that's in the score budget. Right? That won't be a problem.
Yeah, definitely not.
We got free food yesterday. That had to help us out somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, I mean, listen, that is the thing about TV that is no different than radio. When there is free food around here, everyone's in a much better mood. A much better mood. But if you buy lunch for a radio show, because I know like Layla with her deep pockets, I know she's buying lunches all the time. But like you got to buy for Marshall, Ray, and Robbie. If you want to buy for a TV show, good Lord. I wanted to get smoothies for everyone. It was like $250. It was insane.
It's New York pricing for you.
Good thing you're made of money.
It's New York pricing, and it's that there are like 23 people that need to be employed to put on one of these things. It's crazy.
It is indeed. But Danny, we appreciate the time, and we'll get Robbie to the moon and let you know how it goes.
Thanks, Danny.
All right. See you guys.
Seemed very anticlimactic, the whole getting to the moon thing.
I mean, we'll figure it out,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
They did it on, those Apollo missions with, like, a lot more work than it takes now.
True.
Yeah, that required a lot of...
If you believe in that sort of thing. I'm joking. I'm from Huntsville, Alabama, the home of space camp. Don't.
I wanted to go to space camp.
Planting a flag, and it has a Giddy jersey on it. On the moon.
How would your main team feel about that?
Would Cade feel about that?
Don't tell them, okay? Keep it between us.
We got to figure this out. We got to do a better job of balancing this.
Next week.
Snitching would be putting the Giddy flag on the moon. You'd be snitching on yourself at that point.
Self-snitch.
Let's get back to what Jed Hoyer had to say. We need to clear up at least part of the discussion surrounding Shota Imanaga's possible free agency. So I'd like to do that, at least give you the information I have, and then get more into what just some of the finer points were of the discussion. I say we open up the phone lines if people want to call too, because I know we missed some people. So 312-644-6767. That's next on Rahimi Harrison Grody on the Score.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy. They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.